Welcome to the Sunday morning Bible study at Whitestone Christian Fellowship, taught by Pastor Bob Lorenz. We're located in the village of Victor, a little southeast of Rochester, New York. Pastor Bob teaches line by line and verse by verse from the Word of God. Now, let's join this week's Sunday morning Bible study, already in progress.
For their finances, for social order, for social justice even. They're looking for all the things that God has to provide for us. And they're looking for those things in all the wrong places. But as they see the shroud of the Antichrist, the beast, come off and diminish, they're seeing problems. And they're experiencing problems. And so God says, last call. Come on. I'm still the one. What was that rock song a few years ago? You're still the one. God is always, has always been the one. So that's where we're heading today. If you're just tuning in online this week, we welcome you to the 10 a.m. service of Whitestone Christian Fellowship here in upstate New York. Today, our readings are in Jeremiah 51, verses 6 through 9, and we'll read those together in a minute. We will continue in our study in the book of Revelation, and this week we begin with chapter 18, a most important chapter to go through. And to glean from these words of God some understanding about what's going on in the world, what's going to go on in the world, and how faithful God is to His own. So please read with me Jeremiah 51, verses 6 through 9. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the prophet writes, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country, for her judgment reaches the heaven and is lifted up on even to the skies." It's an amazing passage in light of what we're going to be studying today. We have been going through Revelation. A couple weeks ago we were in chapter 16. Actually, we were in chapter 15 several weeks ago. And the Lord had warnings for what was to come. But the people did not heed the warnings. We went on to chapter 16. And the pride of the people refused to let them humble themselves before the Lord still. And we watched Jesus begin to dismantle the Babylonian system, a system of world politics, world finances, world religion, and all the rest. In chapter 17, we watched Jesus continue the dismantling process until there was nothing left. And even the false prophet, with the church that he led as He led people into worship, the worship of Antichrist. Even the false prophet lost his importance to the leaders of Babylon. When they had accomplished what they wanted to accomplish through him, they cast him and his church aside, because what they had established was a system of finances, a system of world trade, where everyone was happy to put one over on the buyers. I remember years ago, probably back in the 70s, when General Motors finally acknowledged that the only difference between a Cadillac and a Chevrolet was about $400 in manufacturing costs. And yet, they charged thousands of dollars more for a Cadillac than they did a Chevrolet. It was a good business sense for them. Totally unethical, though. And that is the world system that we have now. Make goods as cheaply and inexpensively as you can, and then puff them up in their greatness and their reliability. That's the system that we have today. It's still the system of Babylon. It is still the system of Babylon. When we look at who Babylon might be, we watched as Babylon in Iraq was destroyed. Right down to the ground. This great city of Babylon that God used to bring judgment upon the offending Jewish population of the Middle East, taking them into captivity for 70 years, and then moving it upon their king, Nebuchadnezzar, and Darius, to release them after those 70 years. And once they were released, God came and judged Babylon for its cruelty, not only to the Jews, but to every one of their enemies around them. They were a harsh and cruel people. Babylon was the capital of the Chaldeans. And they were merciless. You might even say they were mercenary in some of their battles. So the city of Babylon has been destroyed. We know that. All we can do is, well, if you look at the front of your bulletin today, you'll see a picture of a couple of modern archaeologists sifting through the rubble of Babylon. There's nothing left there except ruins. What's interesting, though, is that back in the 80s, when Saddam Hussein was in power in Iraq, Nebuchadnezzar was his hero. And he started to rebuild Babylon, just a few miles away from the original site, a little bit closer to Baghdad. It was an incredible operation that he was undertaking. But he truly wanted to be the next Nebuchadnezzar, building a great city, being a center for commerce, being a center for manufacturing, being a center for financial power throughout the Middle East. The building of the new Babylon is still going on. But the ethics and the vision continue to be the same as the old Babylon. Chapter 16 and 17, we saw Babylon destroyed from top to bottom. The priests of Babylon, with all of their idolatrous and false gods that they worshipped, they headed west into Eastern Asia Minor, to another center of commerce, Pergamos, which was already filled with multiple idols and false gods. They went from there and into Europe. And eventually they went to Rome. I don't know where they are now, but I can guess where they are. The center of world commerce, the center of world finances, the center of the financial district that oversees and actually runs the stock markets of dozens of countries, is right there on our coast, Wall Street. Is that the new Babylon? The vision is the same. The vision is the same. Make as much money as you can without regard to whether or not the people have it to spend. As we look at the beginning of chapter 18, we see something unique. We see a gap in the chronology of the book of Revelation. 16 and 17 are gone by. Babylon is destroyed. And in chapter 18 it begins, "And after these things," how long after? We don't know. God knows. It's His plan. It's His goal. It is His agenda that takes precedent over anything that we see or read from man. And so John is being truthful. He said, "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened in his glory." This is one powerful angel. If he can light the whole earth with just the glory of himself, this angelic being, could have been Gabriel, could have been Michael, the archangel. "Having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication.'" The whole world got into bed with Babylon of old. And now the angel is announcing that it's done. The city is done. The physical city is done. "The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." You have to remember how I should have probably taken the time and investigated a little bit more and told you how large the city was. The walls of the city, a protected city, were enough to carry chariot races, 6 chariots abreast on the top of the walls. It's interesting, the number 6 is the number of man. The number of seven is completion. It's done and it's finished. The merchants of the earth waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. It was a place that Nebuchadnezzar had built up, and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon are one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Incredible beauty. Gardens in the middle of the desert. But a fertile desert, because it's right in between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, the old ruins. So it's an area where they can grow things. They would have to irrigate hundreds of miles to get to those rivers' sources of water. They waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." Now, whose voice do you think this is? This is the voice of the Lord himself. This is the voice of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, audible to John's ears. "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." We know what's coming. More judgment. While chapter 16 and 17 speaks of ancient Babylon, chapter 18 seems to be talking about modern Babylon. There's nothing left of the old one. There's no inhabitants there. It has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And Jesus says, "Come out of her, my people." Don't partake. Don't take on that vision of old. Because if you partake of her sins, you will receive of her plagues as well. "For her sins have reached unto the heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." How do we know that this is still going on? Back in the late 60s and 1970s, there was a huge computer that was built in Central Europe, and it was called Babel. The program it contained was called Babel. And if you remember the Tower of Babel from chapter 11 in Genesis, it was to reach up to the heavens. It was to put man up on the level of God. It was to fulfill the vision that Satan had of being like God. And God confused their language and destroyed that first Tower of Babel, which was built in the land of Shinar, which is modern-day Iraq. No doubt on the same site that ancient Babylon was built upon. But the program that this tower, or that this computer was running, was called Babel. It was eliminating all of the human language, and it was just running figures for world commerce. Automatically from one country to another, it would transform francs to dollars, lira to dollars. Because the U.S. economy was so strong, that was ground zero for world economy. But it broke down the language barriers. And everybody got their financial statements and they knew exactly how much they had, even in their own home nation's language, in their own native tongue. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, to her double. Give her back twice, four times, eight times what she has given you. See, there's no getting rich in the Babylonian commerce market. There's only getting taken advantage of. Because as it tells us, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she hath in her heart, she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Marie Antoinette used to say the same thing. I see no hunger. You're telling me they have no bread? Let them eat cake. That's a delicacy. Filled with sugar and sweets, things that are not necessarily good for us. She says she'll see no sorrow. Doesn't mean there isn't sorrow and torment around her feet. I'm not a widow. I sleep with kings and princes and emperors and rulers and presidents and prime ministers. I have my fill. I'm well satisfied. She lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see. She won't even recognize the poverty all around her in her own kingdom, among her own people, among the kings that she worked out financial deals with. This is pride at its worst. We remember from Matthew 23:23 that Jesus upbraided the Pharisees. And he said, you've forgotten the most important things. You tithe of your mint and your cumin, but you have forgotten to tithe of your compassion and empathy and love. So aloof is this woman that rides the beast, this fake financial system, you can't see it. There was an article just recently, maybe within 2 weeks, online. President Biden was taken into a coffee shop with his Secret Service team. He said, I'll buy today. And he was appalled. So out of touch that he didn't even understand that a cup of coffee is $6 to $8 these days. He had a taste of what the public deals with under his financial system. He didn't like it. He didn't like it, but he didn't do anything about it either. Appalled at the price of coffee. What about bread and meat? What about vegetables? We have watched our prices in our grocery stores soar out of control. And if you go to a restaurant, even a fast food restaurant, they have upped their prices so that they can pay the legally required salary that the government has forced upon restaurateurs. Interesting. We read earlier that a loaf of bread would be a penny. A loaf of bread is sometimes up to $4, $6 now. It's not even a penny. But a penny in the day of the scriptures was a lot of money. It was a day's wage, perhaps. And that's what the scriptures were warning us about. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. And I should change the inflection of my voice. She glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment. Much torment and sorrow give her. For she hath said, she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. I won't have it. I'm above all of it. I sit a queen, she says in her heart. And yet she has no relationship with the one that gave her life. And she may think that she has life because of the beast and the dragon, but they will take her down a road that will lead only to death. They have taken her down that road. And Wall Street doesn't see it. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. It's an amazing how God can reach down from heaven and punish people in the open, send difficulties their way. And yet, because the world wants to deny God, they don't see it. They don't see the connection between someone's acts, and they don't see the connections to God. God judges. He is a judge, and he will judge. He has judged. He'll judge again. This is an incredible view of the Babylon that we live in today. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. wasn't that long ago, 23 years ago, that we saw the effect of her burning in New York City. $2,300 lives were lost in a single day. The World Trade Center were the two towers. It was kind of a lame blow to think that two planes could take down the whole of those two towers. But then there were questions. Because the top floors were burning. The floors above them were crumbling. And we're always left with the question of, what about those explosions that happened around the foundation of the buildings? Some say it's conspiracy theory. We'll never know. We'll never know. But we saw the results of it. It was an economic tragedy for the city of New York. It was a social tragedy for those people who lost their lives and their families. Their families who mourn them, mourn the deaths of those that died. And we know that the deaths continue among the rescue workers and firefighters that, and the policemen that went into the building to save as many as they could. They stand afar off and they bewail her. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." How quickly things can go downhill. Nobody saw the attack coming on October 7th. In Israel, when Hamas attacked Israel. Nobody saw it coming except Hamas. The planning went on, and as far as they were concerned, the judgment was well timed. Same thing with the Twin Towers. Nobody had a clue. But those hijackers of the airplanes, they knew. Somebody plans those kinds of attacks. No doubt someone is already planning the next attack. If the Palestinians tell us that their goal is to take over Israel, from the river to the sea, then they're not going to broadcast when it's going to come. We only know that God has promised to be faithful to his people that live in his land and to all of those that are called his own, and that includes his church. That means it includes the U.S. But this new Babylon that we live under is so powerful, run by such wealthy men, that nothing will deter them from their plans. neither justice nor violations of the law. Since 1900, up until about 1997 or 98, somebody was keeping statistics. And every year in between those 2 years, from 1900 to 1997, just a few years short of 100 years, every year saw 250,000 Christians martyred around the world. Every year, 250,000. Well, why don't we hear of those, Pastor Bob? We don't hear of them because those rich, wealthy men figure, well, that's just a liability. If they kill a Christian, they're probably killing a conservative. If they kill a Christian, they're probably killing somebody who is wise with their money. And they don't want that to change. They want to make as much money as they can. That's what Wall Street is all about. That's what the oil companies are all about. That's what the gold miners are all about. That's what the store up the street is all about. Convenience store? It's an inconvenient truth. In 4 years, during the 1900s, every 4 years, there was another million Christians that were wiped out and martyred for their faith. We don't see it here in this country. Occasionally. But in militant sects of Hinduism, militant sects of Buddhism, communist China, they have no use for Christians because the government is their God. The government is the supplier of all their needs. And they don't want that to change. If you don't believe in God, does that mean He's not there? Somebody's going to get their comeuppance. But how can we be, how can our leaders be so blind? And that's why I said earlier, the one thing that we can thank Joe Biden for is that he's bringing us closer to the end, closer to that day of judgment. Because as he gets richer, and Hunter gets richer, and Jill gets richer, and Joe's brother and family members get richer, they're part of the problem. They're part of Babylon. Kings of the earth who have committed fornication, in verse 9, lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. What's her merchandise? Listen to this litany of merchandise. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. There goes the whole jewelry district, the gem district of New York. Gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, your high-end department stores. And all fine wood. Thine is a citrus-based wood that's durable and good for furniture. It's a hard wood. Here's all your decorator and design studios. All manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of the most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. We're getting into the housing industry and decorations for your home. Nobody's going to be buying it anymore because it won't be available. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat. The best of the best grains. The best of the best grains. They won't be available. Not for the funds that the average person has anyways. These are all luxury items that we're reading about. And beasts and sheep and horses, chariots. Here's your automotive trade. The automotive industry. Beasts, sheep, horses, chariots. The leather they use for the luxurious interiors. But it goes beyond that. And slaves and souls of men. There's human trafficking. Nobody will be able to find them anymore. Everybody will be scratching and clawing to buy a loaf of bread. And the fruit that thy soul lusted after and are departed from thee, all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. They'll be wiped out. If you find them, you will find them in the storehouses of the rich and infamous. You will find the pockets of men like Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi. You will find them living in their dainty, with their dainties, with their luxury items, with their palaces of gold and marble. And Gaddafi and Hussein's palaces do them absolutely no good anymore. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment. It's a repeat of one of the previous, verse 11. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. What are we going to do? How are we going to live? How are we going to make money? How are we going to put food on our tables? And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off. Now listen to this next verse. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? What did we miss? Every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, as many as trade by the sea, they stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning. There's no ships in Iraq, in the middle of Iraq, in the desert. So the New Babylon is someplace along the coast of some country. Most major cities in the world are near coast, are near the coastline of their countries. But who fits? Who fits this prophecy? Who is such a great center of finance and business? It's about 360 miles southeast of us. We could point to New York. We could point to Buenos Aires. We could point to any number of coastal cities. But there is none that has the power over world finances like New York. Paris, London. There's plenty of cities that we can choose from, but none are as powerful and financially backed as New York. Is that the New Babylon? It could be. No, we don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know when the rapture is going to occur. We know that China is building its islands off the coast. There could be a whole new city coming. And when you have a population that China enjoys, we might look to Hong Kong for a center of finance, or Tokyo. The rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich. All that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. God did that. God did that. In 1 hour. Burned to the ground. Maybe you've been watching the news lately, but there's been several homes in our area, especially up in the Rochester area, that suddenly have just burned to the ground. All it takes is an hour. But can you imagine the conflagration? of a big city that comes from an atomic bomb. And Russia told us more than a decade ago that if they feel threatened enough with their tenuous economy, that they will make the first preemptive strike. North Korea can now reach the United States with their missiles. We know Russia can get their missiles to the U.S. They can get their missiles to Israel. They can get their missiles to South Africa if they want. But their aim is going to be Babylon. It's a scary thought when we think that time might be short for our country. The only thing that we hope in and can trust in is the Lord's word that he shall rapture his church. His faithful ones will be raptured, and we will be kept from the wrath of God. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5. That means you can take that to the bank. Come to Jesus. Come out from among her. Come out from among Babylon. Come back to church. Read more about what's coming. It's not going to be pretty. But Jesus tells us that everything that he has heard of his Father, he has spoken to us. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. Be prepared. Live lightly. Be entrenched in nothing. Love your families. Teach your children. From Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2, God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. God bless you. Pray that this goes around the world to all of our listeners, whether it's in communist China or in Russia, whether it's our listeners in Europe. It was interesting, when I was preparing for this, I read about Pope John Paul II. And he was one that had the vision of a world empire. And he pulled seven European countries together into a conference. And the kings and rulers of those countries came. And the end result of it was the European market and the euro dollar. They were three short of the 10 toes, but they had the seven kings, seven crowns of the beast. Be prepared. We may be closer than we think. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Morning Bible Study at Whitestone Christian Fellowship, taught by Pastor Bob Lorenz. To access the list of teachings, or to check the archives for Pastor Bob's weekly observations column, log on to WhitestoneCF.com. There you can also check the weekly schedule and any upcoming events. To contact us or to drop a note to Pastor Bob, you can email us at WhitestoneCF@gmail.com or call us at 585-924-8820. Whitestone Christian Fellowship is a non-denominational congregation. Every Sunday, Pastor Bob walks us through the Bible, teaching line upon line and verse by verse. And we're located in the village of Victor, a little southeast of Rochester, New York. And if you're in the area, we invite you to visit us. From upstate New York, Pastor Bob encourages all of us to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Until next time, remember that Jesus is our victor. Stay close to Him.